We're speaking to Alex White, Minister for Communications, Energy and Natural Resources, recent return from the UN Conference on Climate Change in Lima, Peru. You're very welcome, Minister.
Thank you very much.
I've heard you speak on climate change before, and I believe that you are a person who understands the importance and the seriousness of the situation. Am I right in that?
Well, absolutely, and I think it's something that we all need to, you know, need to turn our attentions to. Every country in the world needs to do so, and all the citizens in every country need to understand the effects of climate change.
Okay, thanks. Now, to the climate change conference itself, which has just finished in Peru, can you give us your, you were there, you attended, can you give your assessment of that conference, please?
Well, the conference was really extraordinary in many ways, because if you look back over the last 20 years or more, people will remember Kyoto. Most people, when they think of climate change and they think of international agreements, they think of Kyoto. Kyoto was back in the early 90s, and it really brought together the developed world to look to see, well, what would be the basic agreement that countries in the developed world could put together in order to address this huge problem? It's a huge problem for humanity, for all of humanity.
Yeah.
So that happened then in 1992, some early tentative steps. Then there were more meetings, I suppose, over the years that people will be familiar with, particularly unsuccessful one a number of years back in Copenhagen. So, you know, two steps forward, three steps back, all of that kind of thing.
Yes,
countries
yes.
being very tentative in what they're prepared to do. So the big deal now is Paris 2015,
yes.
the end of next year, this time next year. And what's intended to do there is to put together an agreement that will include all of the countries of the world for the first time, not just the developed countries like us, but every single country in the world to come together in an agreement in Paris to set the standards and to set the basis for us all agreeing on what steps have to be taken by every country and every region. The meeting in Lima 2 weeks ago was really a step along the way, really almost the penultimate step along the way to Paris, to put together a text that people could see, look, there's the basis for our discussions and our final agreement next year in Paris. It sounds a bit, you know, it sounds a bit bureaucratic. Well, look, you're in Lima. Were you not there to try to agree?
I can imagine. I can imagine what it was like.
The amazing thing is, the really amazing thing is to be in a venue where there's 194 countries with all of the pressures that they have on them, with all of the different levels of development they have, with all of the crises, wars, drought, flooding, all of the, you know, developed world like us, relatively stable, all coming together literally in one big tent in Lima. To see what's the way forward here, how can we come to an agreement next year in Paris, and what kind of text should we agree now that will help our negotiators take us there next year?
Okay, now I agree with you. It's a significant event and a moment in human history that this has occurred. But a lot who were disappointed, Minister, felt that the agreed draft document is just kept getting longer, and in many ways is a fudged compromise. How do you see it?
I think to some extent it is a compromise, and I think it's only ever going to be a compromise.
Yeah.
As I was making the point there, look at all the different countries, the different influences on them, rich, poor, rural, urban, you know, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere. I'm not making excuses for countries, but I know as a politician, the short period that I've been in government, you know, things that look like they should be done at the click of the finger of your fingers become an awful lot more difficult to do once you sit down to try
to achieve
it. But yes, it was a compromise. Some disappointing elements to it, even from our point of view, but a real step forward nevertheless.
I think so. I mean, I've read briefly through it. It is a long document, and it's sleep-inducing by times. But there, I think it's very promising in that it offers so many options to be worked on and selected over the next 12 months. I would be quite optimistic about the document, I have to say. One of the points in it, Minister, I sensed a Marxian tone to one of the formulations of one of the main components of the agreement, which states richer nations have to lead the way in cutting emissions. That's from each according to their means, and in contributing to a loss and damage scheme to assist poorer nations cope with the costs of rising temperature. Surely that's to each according to their needs. It's almost Marxian. Are we in Ireland going to implement such a policy?
Well, we need to ensure that there is a recognition of the different positions faced by different countries, and that's absolutely the case. And we did that. We negotiate through the European Union.
Yes.
So the EU actually negotiates at these conferences as a bloc. So when I was in Lima, most of my work and most of the work of the delegation that was that went from Ireland would be with other European partners to look at, look, how, what should the EU stance be? How should we press this yes. forward? You know, what should our negotiating position be? And, you know, I suppose one of the things that, was discussed quite a lot was how do you ensure that countries actually really do stick to the agreements and stick to the commitments that they're making? And that was one that took quite a while, these so-called, you know, nationally determined contributions, yeah. how exactly each country will make its contribution. And that was that took a bit of time, because it's one thing to make a commitment in these nationally determined commitments, but it's another thing to actually have a mechanism in place to ensure that that's actually implemented. And maybe that's one of the weaknesses of this agreement. It wasn't tight enough on having a way to compare what each country is doing based on the same kind of benchmarks. That was a bit of a disappointment, but yeah, I think there'll be a lot of work done on that.
Yeah, there is a benchmark there now, at least with 12 months to go. I would be optimistic that a lot of those sort of tentative agreements could be firmed up, you know. And I think you're right. I think we're better to work through the EU. When you look at the two big polluters, the US and China, Ireland on its own would be insignificant. We're better working as a united European bloc voice to counter that. The other thing just to say to you is the draft document coming back home now. The draft document says national pledges are to be submitted by the first quarter of 2015. Now, it does say by those states ready to do so. And I'm just wondering, will we be ready here in Ireland to submit our national climate change pledge by March of next year?
Well, again, that's something that we'll be doing in conjunction with our European okay. partners. Remember that there was a council meeting back a number of weeks ago in Brussels where we set a new target for 2030, at least 40% reduction by 2030. Yes. But the European countries then didn't require or didn't agree what the specifics of that would be country by country. So we have to do that now within the European Union. We have to basically say, look, you know, yes, we have a big headline figure for the European Union. What does that mean for Ireland? What does that mean for Spain, Portugal, and everything else? So it'll be in that context that we'll then come forward, and each country in the European Union will come forward in conjunction with its, you know, partners within the EU. But yes, we'll definitely stick to the to the requirements in this Lima agreement. There's no question. We have to. I mean, you know, it's all very well for the European Union to say that we're a beacon and we're giving leadership, but we have to deliver as well.
Yes, of course.
And we will deliver.
Well, I'm heartened to hear that. I'm heartened to hear that, Minister, because I agree with you. It's a critically important issue. It's the basic human rights issue of this century.
I'm glad you raised that point, because one of the events that occurred at the Lima conference was a really important breakfast meeting organised by Mary Robinson.
Right.
And she pulled together some, you know, many different countries represented right across the world to show the link between human rights and climate change. And it was, she chaired it along with French colleagues. This Paris conference obviously will be in Paris, will be in France. And Laurent Fabius, who's the foreign minister of France, he was there with her, Ségolène Royal. I was really honoured to represent Ireland at that meeting. And it's just to demonstrate and to take forward this link between human rights and climate change, all of those issues that Mary Robinson worked so hard on. And that's, you know, that was an important dimension of this. A lot of NGOs, including a lot of Irish NGOs there, making this critical link between the impact and the, you know, the threat of climate change on the one hand and human rights on the other.
Okay. Yeah, that's grand. I agree with you, because that we here in this community radio station try to keep to the fore both human rights and climate issues. And increasingly we see them converging. There are a lot of small island nations that are in perilous state at this stage, and something needs to be done fairly soon for them. Okay, listen, Minister, we do appreciate you coming in. Just finally, your experience, having experienced Peru, are you optimistic about a realistically binding agreement in Paris next year? What's your gut feeling on it?
Well, what I say to journalists about this, people who are disappointed, people who are maybe a little bit sort of cynical based on what we've seen over the years, I think the real story now is that there is a genuine and real prospect of an agreement in Paris next year. All the countries of the world coming together. to agree a legally binding,
yes,
a legally binding agreement. And that's of enormous importance. And I think if it happens, and I believe it will happen, and I am confident, I think it'll be a huge step forward for humanity.
Okay, now I think that's, and we'll keep in touch with you as this develops next year, because yeah, it's an issue that certainly is to the fore in our community radio station.
Absolutely.
Here. So listen, Minister, we want to thank you very much for that. Oh, one final thing before I let you go, on another matter of interest to broadcasters, will you be introducing legislation next year to bring forward the promised public service broadcasting charge? Or are you...
I'm looking at the entirety of the funding of public service broadcasting,
yeah,
and the balance between public and private and indeed community broadcasting. I've made no final decisions yet,
okay,
but I will be going to government in the course of 2015.
Okay.
And the broadcasting service, that charge, you know, will actually feature in my thinking, and certainly it'll be one of the elements of what I'll be bringing forward.
I know these are sort of fraught times financially for everybody, but I do think if the charge, would be your opinion here, that if an existing sort of license fee that people are aware of and used to was reduced slightly, I think it would actually be quite welcomed at this time by the citizens. So maybe you keep that in mind in your...
I certainly will, and I'd like to have good relations with community radio.
Okay, I think Creil has agreed to, at your convenience, to meet with you sometime earlier the new year.
Yeah.
So we look forward
absolutely
to that. Okay, listen,
we'll do that.
Thanks for taking the call, and good luck to you for the rest of the year. Okay, thanks, Minister.
My pleasure, and
thank
happy
you.
Christmas to you.
Thanks, Alex White. Thank you.